Mr. President, Vice Presidents, distinguished delegates of the 66th World Health Assembly, I greet you well. My presentation, while being Jamaica-specific, is typical of the Caribbean region. The year 2015 is not far away, and it was not long ago that the framers in their wisdom charted a bold path to a seemingly distant horizon called the Millennium Development Goals. Now we are studying a new horizon in a bid to chart a clear route to the next generation of global development goals. From our standpoint, Jamaica sees a challenging path. We see the vast expanse of universal health coverage, the rising swells of the threat of non-communicable diseases that could engulf us if we do not hold a steady ship, the ominous clouds of HIV, the turbulence of negotiating mental health, and the choppy waters of the social determinants of health. Retrospectively, Jamaica achieved much in going after the MGDs in health, but 2015 will find us behind in goal 4, the reduction of child mortality, and goal 5, the improvement of maternal health. Jamaica's maternal mortality rate has some improvement, moving from 110 per 100,000 live births in 2000 to 92 per 100 live births in 2012. Still, too many of our mothers are dying. Our infant mortality rate is 20% per 1,000 live births, and child mortality is 22% per 1,000 live births. The 2015 target is 9 per 1,000, moving from 24 per 1,000 in 2000. One area where Jamaica can be proud is that we are on track for achieving MGD6, combating the effects of HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. But let me emphasize that revised arrangements are threatening these gains. Jamaica is finding it challenging to preserve the gains in the face of crushing debts at 140% of GDP and reduced funding to access ARVs and other HIV treatment interventions. HIV must be on the post-MGD agenda. That post-MGD agenda can be affected by the prevalence of chronic non-communicable diseases. They represent a clear and present danger to any development goals we may devise. As I speak, over 60% of deaths in Jamaica annually is due to the NCDs. For Jamaica, NCDs rank 1 to 4 in the leading causes of death. Dealing with NCDs, especially cancers, can take a family from a path of promise to the depths of crushing poverty. The effects of cardiovascular and chronic lower respiratory tract infections suck the breath out of the most productive in our society. Circulatory disease robs the energy necessary to produce for growth. We heard that a laser-like focus be trained on NCDs, especially cancers. The world will be worse off if we ignore it. Jamaica supports the idea that the post-MGD discussion as universal health coverage as a vital component towards socioeconomic development. This will underpin a good, sustainable development agenda. I pause to concur with Dr. Margaret Chang, And I quote, I regard universal coverage as the single most powerful concept that public health has to offer. It is the best way to cement the health gains made during the previous decade. It operationalizes the highest ethical principles of public health. It is a powerful social equalizer and the ultimate expression of fairness. The recent enthusiasm for universal coverage occurs in a world in which social inequality in income levels, in opportunities, and in access to health care are at the greatest level seen, at least in the last half century. End of quote. That, Mr. President, is the essence of universal access to health care. It is the way we address questions of services and quality of care while ensuring that the use of these services does not expose the user to financial hardships. UHC is multidimensional, requiring interventions that impact different aspects of the health system. It requires the efficient, equitable, and appropriate population-wide delivery of healthcare services. It requires supply-side staff equipped with the appropriate skill sets and technological support to function effectively while remaining motivated. Thirdly, UHC requires a sustainable, equitable health financing platform that provides a safety net against poverty or severe financial hardships due to illness. UHC must be on the agenda. This UHC discussion must be rounded out by a look at the social determinants of health. These are the conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age. The distribution of money, power, and resources at all levels, which are themselves influenced by policy choices, are powerful considerations. The social determinants of health are mostly responsible for health inequities. I want to highlight the research done by Masud Pogyu, consultant clinical psychologist, published in the British Medical Journal. He posits that, and I quote, parenting is probably the most important public health issue facing our society, end of quote. He identifies parenting as the single highest common factor across childhood illnesses and accidents, teenage pregnancy and substance misuse, truancy, school disruption, juvenile crime, unemployability, and mental health. I submit that the revisit the framework for social determinants of health as we ponder post-MGD era and how we posit health, parenting and families as critical determinants of health can no longer be ignored. Mental health must not escape our attention. We see the many manifestations through desperate acts of self-immolation, anti-social behavior, and acts of violence. It is not enough to relegate these acts to the realms of social or political religiosity. We need, as a world family, to make and take seriously the plans for those many conditions that would drive persons to the point where they see no option but to act out our frustration. We need to see the warning signs and make the necessary interventions. As we engage, the call to action is a search for solutions. The oft-touted prescription of thinking outside of the box has lost its efficacy. There is no box. There is a wide open space beset with challenges beckoning to our collective will and common purpose. We must heed the call. I thank you, Mr. President.